This is the Men's Network Radio on KGVM 95.9 FM, or you can stream us on kgvm.org. I'm James Kozlik, your host of our weekly program every Thursday evening, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. All right, our guest tonight is Chris Berman, and he's with the Everyman Group. That's another group out in the world here that it's worldwide that does sets up different groups for men to connect with each other. And tonight's show is going to be based on men and nature. Good evening, Chris. How are you doing?
Hi, Jim. I'm good. Thanks
All
for
right.
having me.
Great. Well, my first question to everybody is, how did you ever get involved in Everyman?
Yeah. 2 years ago, I was at a party, and just casually talking to a man, and I said, what do you do? And he said, oh, I lead men's groups. And I said, huh, you know, tell me more. And so he did, and at the time, I had a lot of women in my life, a lot of friends, and I was kind of missing the camaraderie of masculine brotherhood,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, wow, this is a, you know, a synchronistic moment. So a week later, I went to the Thursday night group, sat down with Dan Doty, the founder of Everyman, and seven other guys, and right away I knew it was work I needed to do.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I like what you said about wanting to connect with men, the brotherhood, because
yeah.
I know I've done a lot of work personally, but it's always with women.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the only guys we ever did work
yeah.
on was at the bar or
right.
talking about
Small
work
talk.
And bosses and yeah
football
you know,
and
yeah,
hunting
and football exactly
yeah.
so
yeah women have a lot to teach us
they
and,
yeah
you know they're open they're fluid they
mm-hmm.
can talk about their feelings emotions and it's great to sit with a group of men that can do the same
yeah or at least learning to do
learning,
the same
yes
mm-hmm.
yep.
So now you have a group right here in Bozeman, don't you?
I do, and it's under the banner of Everyman,
mm-hmm.
and we meet weekly on Wednesday nights, and currently there's eight of us.
Okay, and if somebody wanted to get into the group, does size make a difference, or...?
Yeah, currently we like to keep it at about eight or nine guys.
Mm-hmm.
You get too many men, it takes hours.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, and our space is limiting.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice office, but there it's eight people.
Yeah.
But we also have a Thursday group in town.
Oh, you do?
Yep. My good buddy Eli and Christopher and Todd, Glenn,
mm-hmm.
they lead that group. And
oh.
We're looking to start another group.
Oh, great. So that's good news.
Yeah.
So if somebody wanted to connect, how mm-hmm. would they connect? Call you or?
The best thing, at the end of this, I can give my email address.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would direct people to Everyman website.
Okay.
And it's spelled EVRYMAN.com.
All right.
And you can punch on the locals tab, the group,
yeah.
find a group tab.
Yeah.
And it'll direct you.
Okay. That's really good. And, now the reason I'm really excited about interviewing you tonight is because, with my show, I've got different topics. And one of the topics is men in nature.
Yeah.
And I know what I get out of it when I go on a solo trip,
mm-hmm.
you know, in nature. And so you apparently have done some workshops, up at Glacier? Or
yep, Glacier and Yellowstone.
In Yellowstone.
Yep.
You want to go over some of those?
Sure.
How that relates?
Yeah. First off, I'll say that nature, connecting with nature, being alone in the woods, and then doing group work with men are the mm-hmm. two biggest passions I have in life. And so if I can combine them both,
yeah.
it's a win-win.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, on a given spring day or summer day, you'll find me wandering in the mountains
mm-hmm.
looking for mushrooms or taking a cold swim in a creek laying
yeah.
in the sun, you
yeah.
know, by myself or
yeah.
with a good buddy. So I have found that, you know, nothing connects me to myself and
mm-hmm.
my environment
mm-hmm.
as when I am alone in nature or when I'm talking with, you know, a group of men.
Yeah.
And so 2 summers ago, I volunteered on the Everyman, 2 expeditions they did into Yellowstone.
Mm-hmm.
And one was with veterans.
Okay.
And one was with, you know, anybody could sign up for the other one. But this last summer in August, I co-led a trip up in Glacier Park.
Oh.
And myself and three other guides took 16 men into the woods, 2 groups of 8.
Mm-hmm.
And a little backstory. We start, the first couple nights are at a lodge on
okay.
Swan Lake. And
beautiful.
Yeah. And, you know, when the guys show up, everybody's kind of sitting around nervous, waiting for stuff to happen. You got 16 nervous guys and, you know, four anxious guides. You know, how's this week going to go?
Right.
And what we do to break the ice, right after dinner, we do what's called A-B lines. And what that is we have a group of men stand in line A and a group of men stand in line B.
Mm-hmm.
And the facilitator will ask them, all right, I want you men to, you know, move closer.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like still 3 or 4 feet away. And then he says, I want you to get so close that you feel uncomfortable. And still sometimes they're a foot away. And he's like, all right, try to get closer. You know, so the idea is to get right in someone's face.
I got to tell you before you go on.
Yeah.
I'm in a group, every man group in Livingston. I mentioned that before we got started here. And we did that. Sam did one of those. And it was a challenge for me.
Yeah. It is for most men.
Yeah. And to get right up in each other's face, you know, is the only time that's ever happened if you're ready for a bar
fight,
you know?
Exactly.
To do that and just connect was something else.
Yeah.
Especially, I was always somewhat of an introvert,
and
just starting to come out now at this point in my life, you know?
Yeah.
So
it's not comfortable.
No. So how did that work?
Yeah, so you get, you know, you're standing maybe 6-10 inches away from another man, and the idea is to make eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
And then the facilitator will ask questions. Like he'll say, if you really knew me, you would know that I ... And so line A would ask or answer that question for 60 seconds.
Yeah.
And he might be like, if you really knew me, you know, I'm introverted, I'm, you know, passionate about nature, such and such. And then the guy in line B would then do that for 60 seconds. And then every man rotates one guy. And then so you got a new partner to answer a new set of questions. And one I like is, if you really knew me, you would know that I'm afraid of this or I'm most ashamed about this. And, you know, staring into a guy's eyes, someone you just met, sharing your deepest vulnerabilities or not.
Yeah.
But you know when you're not.
Right. Well, I imagine there's some men that are just like, you know, it's still hard to really come out. They've never been there.
Yeah. And so, I mean, often after that, it's just like, here we go. The ice is broken.
Sure.
You know, the next morning we woke up. It was a beautiful sunny day on Swan Lake. We did a 45-minute meditation, and it was powerful.
Yeah.
I busted into tears like halfway through and just let out all this emotion that was pent up. I don't even know what it was, but I realized at that moment I had been really disconnected for the last like 9 months since last winter.
Yeah.
And it felt so good to just let that out, and I'm laying in the sun under aspen trees.
Mm.
Anyways, after that, we broke off into small groups, and the 8 men that I was to lead for the next 5 days in the woods, we all sat in a circle, and right away, you know, the more vulnerably I would share, the next guy.
Yeah.
I heard from 2 or 3 different guys, I have never told anyone in my life this.
Yeah.
And they shared some deep stuff.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So when you do that, of course, these are all pretty much strangers.
Yeah.
And so now when you get back home and whatnot, how was that? Are you able to be as honest like that and vulnerable like that with friends that you've been known for years?
Yeah. I've...
You have kind of a confidence or...
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, it's like a muscle. You build it. We work out every Wednesday in a group, you know.
Okay.
I've always been pretty open book as far as, you know, the story I know.
Yeah.
I share pretty openly, and I have a good collection of friends,
That's cool.
I always have.
Yeah.
You know, after the week-long trip in Glacier, what we do is we do a couple of Zoom calls with all the guys.
Okay.
To catch up, you know, because basically we set what's called a stretch goal.
Mm-hmm.
And at the last night of the retreat in the mountains, round campfire, we all set some pretty lofty goals for ourselves.
Oh, good.
You know, it might be one guy, he was dissatisfied in his job, and he said, you know, in the next 6 months, I'm going to have a new job.
Mm-hmm.
And mine personally was to have a tough conversation with a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
And after I said that, you know, with those men around that fire, I was like, oh, shoot.
Because they hold you accountable?
Yeah. Yep.
So how do they do that? Is that with the
Zoom
call?
Yeah.
By Zoom call.
So I think it was 3 weeks later, we did the Zoom call.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just I think every man had met their goal. Well, mm-hmm. maybe not the guy with the 6 month goal, mm-hmm. but he did. A few weeks later, emailed and said, you know, I got a new job. I'll be moving to, yeah. Moving.
Wow.
Yeah.
So. Amazing. So yeah, that's pretty good. So in between group, do you guys, with your group, do you ever find that you connect in between during the week if somebody yeah. is having a rough time
sure.
and they text or
yep.
yeah, somebody
yeah.
else is there for them?
Yep. I've had a couple guys call me on the phone, you know, mm-hmm. going through some hard stuff. And mm-hmm. I have made some, you know, I have five or six really good friends mm-hmm. among the Wednesday and Thursday groups. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll get lunch often or, you mm-hmm. know, go to an art show or mm-hmm. Go get a drink. So, mm-hmm. yeah. And when we do that, you know, it's not just small talk. We sit down and we talk real and, mm-hmm. you know, what's going on.
Yeah. That's great. So now when you did this, some of these nature groups, you know, or I don't know, what do you call them? Retreats?
They call them expeditions. With every man. That's
okay.
what they call them.
So do you find that some guys are been into the outdoors and they can, and then other guys are like 9-to-5ers that sit behind a desk all day and
you get
like,
a wide gamut of guys.
So then how is their support
yeah.
with each other?
Yeah,
or?
The 8 men that I led into the woods, I think 3 of them had never backpacked in their lives. And
oh,
here
wow.
we are on a 50-60 mile backpacking
trip.
Oh,
that long?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, carrying over 30 pounds. We had heavy packs
yeah.
and hot sunlight. Yeah, I was a little concerned on day one.
I imagine the age group has to
yeah.
make a difference. I mean,
yep.
yeah.
We had a range of men from 27 to 47.
Okay.
On this particular trip.
Sure, because even though you're in your 40s, it's by then
oh,
you're
yeah.
starting to get out of shape. I know that's
yeah.
what I used to feel.
Yeah.
I said, yeah. my dad used to tell me, every 10 years you're going to feel it.
Oh, yeah. I'm feeling it.
So, yeah. So, all right, so now you guys come out of the lodge and you do the meditation.
Yep. And then we do that, you know, the first initial mm-hmm. small group sharing
okay.
circle. And I can describe a little bit of what that's
yeah,
like.
Yeah, why don't you do that? That'd
it's similar to our, you know, Wednesday group, Thursday mm-hmm. group, your Monday group, as
yeah.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, I always screw that up. They made me the facilitator
oh, yeah.
last night, facilitator, and I'm
nice.
Like... what's next?
Yeah, yeah.
So why don't
yeah,
you go
I hear
over
that often.
That? Yeah, yeah.
yeah. So, you know, we start with a meditation,
mm-hmm.
you know, on Wednesday night,
mm-hmm.
a 5-minute meditation. Mm-hmm. Just kind of let the day go, kind of drop into your body, be present for the evening. And then we do a quick check-in. Each man goes around the circle and, you know, it looks like this. I would say, Chris, checking in.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is to identify with an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And then a physical sensation in
okay.
your body. So like right now, I would say, right now, you know, Chris checking in, I feel tired. I feel a sore throat.
Mm.
My neck's sore, tense.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also excited, inspired. So an emotion, a body sensation. And then we talk about whether we met our goal for the week. We
okay.
call them stretches.
Right, right.
And the week prior, we set a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to push men to do something challenging. You
yeah.
know? Oftentimes, you know, a big stretch would be like having a hard talk with your spouse or
right.
family member, your supervisor,
mm-hmm.
or it could be something health-based. Like, you know, I've been eating terrible lately.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to eat a green salad 5 days this
mm-hmm.
week, or I'm going to meditate. I'm going
right.
to get to the gym 3 times for a half-hour workout. So we discuss whether we met that goal for the week.
Right.
And then after that quick check-in, we do the extended shares. And each man shares from 5 to 7 minutes. And we dive deeper. We avoid storytelling. And as a facilitator, our goal is to get the men to kind of drop into their body and feel. And get out of their head. That story we all tell, you know, ourselves, that's not always true. So... yeah, so men share, and sometimes it's about their job, it's about their relationship, it's about addiction, it's
mm-hmm.
about, you know, you name it, I've heard it.
Yep, yep.
And, you know, it's cool for me because I have done, you know, 2 years of group work,
mm-hmm.
I've done a handful of expeditions, a 3-day retreat, and I feel like I'm well-traveled.
Yeah.
You know, some people travel the world
mm-hmm.
for experience and cultural awareness, but
mm-hmm.
I can sit in a circle of men. And I feel like I'm well-traveled
yeah, good.
From people's experiences.
Yep, feel comfortable.
Yeah,
and
so
then guys kind of chip in a little bit.
Yeah, we try not to give a whole lot of advice.
Right.
Unless you ask for it.
Unless you ask for it. Okay.
But yeah, men will prompt you. They'll be like, well, hey, wait, stop. Mm-hmm. I heard you say something. Hey, let's go back to that. It sounded powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And that sometimes opens up someone to like,
Now, what if they're just telling a story and they're not getting into their feelings?
That's where we interrupt them.
Okay.
It sounds like you're going into story.
Mm-hmm.
How did that event make you feel? Talking about this other person is
right.
I'm losing you.
Right. There you go.
A little story's good for context.
Yeah.
But too much is mm-hmm. distracting.
Okay.
And so, each man does that, and after that, we do a checkout round, and it's mm-hmm. a quick round as well. Mm-hmm. And again, we identify with a feeling and a body sensation. A lot of times, guys checking out will say, I'm so glad I came tonight. I'm so grateful for mm-hmm. this. Before group, I hesitated. I was going to call in, but here I am, and I feel 100% better than I did 2 hours ago.
Yeah, I can identify with that. There's nights it's like, I don't like that night. I get there, and what am I going to work on?
Right.
Next
it just comes
thing you
out.
Know, you, yep, it comes. You just jump in. So now you do this with the retreat.
Yep.
Now you're done with that phase of it.
Yep.
And then you start your hike.
Yep. So day one, we hike in. We hiked 10 miles the first day. It was a brutal day. Hot, heavy packs, guys getting used to their boots and finding the flow. And we get to camp, set up, men swam in the river, and then after dinner we build a fire and then we do a group check-in. And and in the woods, I like to prompt things with nature-based type topics. Like one night I brought up the idea of animal guides, each man, and I started a presentation on, what my guides are and how I've seen synchronistic magic moments, whether through my dreams or walking in nature and some, spirit animal.
Sure.
I like to call them animal guides.
Absolutely.
But so each man did that, and I kind of went out on an edge to lead that. I wasn't sure how the men would take it.
Yeah.
We had guys from L.A., Europe, Canada, from techie jobs, but they really dug it. And one guy said his was wolf, and I said, why wolf? And he said, because I feel like a lone wolf. And I'm searching for my pack.
Oh, neat.
And that really hit me. And then the next morning, he comes up to me. He pats me on the back. He says, I dreamt of wolves last night.
Oh,
he said,
cool.
Two wolves were licking me on the face. And they were becking me to come with them.
Yeah.
And we ended up naming our group Wolf Pack.
Oh, no kidding.
And we heard
That's
wolves.
Great.
We saw wolf prints. And so anyways, so around the fire, it is like a group check-in. But in nature, you can play with different ideas.
Sure. Just to share with you, I know when I do a lot of backcountry, especially backcountry skiing, and I know, and I do a lot of solo, and I'm out there, and you're in, the elements, and sometimes I pick out a spot that I want to hit, and I'm like, man, and I'm going through a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just thoughts. Yeah. I'm getting inspired. Other times it's emotional stuff that's coming up, so while these guys are hiking the 10 miles, especially for the first 10 miles, do you address any of that if anybody came up with stuff in that first check-in around the campfire?
Good question. Every morning we would do the first hour in silence, kind of like a meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And we would prompt the guys with questions about struggle and resistance.
Yeah.
And, at the end of the day, guys have lots to talk about
because
they're struggling up the mountain with 40 pounds on their back.
Yeah, yeah.
They're resisting at every step.
Yeah.
But then they start thinking about their life and how that plays into their life.
Mm-hmm.
So, we do prompt people with reflections for the trail.
Then
we reflect on them at night. Mm-hmm. On day three, we do a layover day. And that's great because in the morning, after breakfast, we put all the men out alone, and they sat for an hour and journaled. And after that, we did a water ceremony, and this was my highlight of the trip.
Mm-hmm.
we took the guys to the edge of a cliff and did some breath work up on the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we walked down into the canyon on this very beautiful waterfall. It was like 10 feet wide,
mm-hmm.
20 feet tall, and this giant emerald green pool.
Oh, no kidding.
In this mountain canyon.
No.
And the idea is to get in the cold water.
Yeah.
And the water was about 50 degrees, mm-hmm. and that's cold.
Yep, it sure is.
And so we sat in that water. You know, a couple of the guys weren't going to do it, and
mm-hmm.
we cheered them on. They got in, and you know, it wasn't a bravado type thing.
Right.
It was, you know, push your boundaries. You're, you know. And so we weren't making people to stay in the water.
Yeah.
They would get in, and, you know, some guys stayed in for 5 minutes.
Right.
And, you know, you get out. And
there's guys in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's this guy, Wolf. What's his name?
Oh, Wim Hof.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, so we did Wim Hof breathing up on the edge.
Okay, you did that then.
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
We had a guy from the Netherlands that mm-hmm. had gone through the Wim Hof training.
Okay, I think, explain that a little bit.
Okay, the Wim Hof training, or the breath work, I won't get it exactly right.
No, but the breath work is important.
Yeah, yeah. You do about 25 really deep breaths
mm-hmm.
with short exhales,
mm-hmm.
and then you hold your breath.
Mm-hmm.
For as long as you can. And, mm-hmm. you know, the first time you do it, you're holding your breath maybe 15 seconds, or
right.
at least I was. It was really
mm-hmm.
short. You do that cycle of breathing.
Mm-hmm.
I held my breath for 90 seconds.
Yeah.
I was blown away.
Well, I do a lot of, I do yoga, Kundalini yoga.
Yeah.
And it does a lot of breath work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, then they call that, you know, breath in the short is
Breath of fire. Yeah.
Right.
I've done
so,
that.
So
yeah.
you've done that.
Yeah. And so
and
you can hold
similar,
your breath.
Yeah. And that's what I'm finding. Mm-hmm. I'm able to regulate my breath where it goes. So.
Yeah. So your body gets super oxygenated. You're tingly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You feel really good. And then you go down to the water and you get in.
So this is interesting because, especially doing it with these guys, because
mm-hmm.
my wife and I do a cold shower every
morning. Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're finding that the more we keep doing it and we could stay in longer and longer. I've gotten to the point now where I could soap in there and everything if I wanted to. I could stay in there for as long as I want, you know.
Yeah.
And at first it's tough, you know, the first 10 seconds or so catches your breath, you know, but then once you start dipping in.
Yeah.
So that breath work is really something.
Yeah.
All right. So anything else that you want to add on to this water ceremony?
There was a cool moment where we partnered up
mm-hmm.
and this one guy that I was partners with, mm-hmm. I noticed on the first day, sitting in our little circle,
mm-hmm.
he was really sad.
Oh.
And after our first group mm-hmm. on that day by the lake at the lodge, he walked off and stood by himself. And I walked over to him, and I went out on an edge, and I just put my hand on his shoulder.
Nice.
And he turned to me really stoically
mm-hmm.
and real deadpan said, "Thanks."
Hmm.
And I didn't know.
Well,
anyways,
man,
it really...
That's making me emotional just to hear that.
So,
that's the support that...
Yep.
We all need
male intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put an arm on a guy.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting, and I'm getting better at it. But
mm-hmm.
when my first group,
mm-hmm.
I'm seeing all these guys hugging each other. You know, and I'm like, all right. I mean, and I'm a hugger.
Yeah.
But when I saw that, especially, I don't know anybody.
Yeah.
You know, and it really, and it took me a couple groups to warm up.
Yeah.
You know, because the first thing everybody does is.
Yeah.
Give each other a hug when they...
Good heartfelt bear hugs. It feels good.
So that's pretty cool.
So I did that with this mm-hmm. gentleman, and I remember the first night in the woods when he shared, he looked at me and he said that really meant a lot.
Yeah.
Anyways, I started seeing his shell break away.
Mm-hmm.
And on day two, he's walking, he's in front of me, and I see him putting his hands through the grass, touching trees,
mm-hmm.
and I see him pick a flower, and he puts it in his sternum strap, right?
Mm.
And I went up to him. I said, "Nice flower, man."
Mm-hmm.
He goes, "Yeah, 3 days ago, I would have never dreamed of putting a flower on my body." And we laughed about it. Anyways, he was the guy that spoke about the wolf as his spirit
mm-hmm.
animal. And then, anyways, him and I were partners in that water ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sending, you know, we're in the water neck deep.
Mm-hmm.
And at one moment, I had been writing this poem about blood feathers.
Mm-hmm.
They're feathers from small birds. Anyways, mm-hmm. I was writing this poem the last few days in the woods. And I'm standing there, or, you know, in the water neck deep with this gentleman. And right a little... One moment, a little swirl of water swirled right in front of my chest, and in that little swirl was a flower and a blood feather.
Oh.
Talk about magic and connection. Right. You know, you're neck deep in water. Yeah. You can't get more connected to that. Right. You've been in the woods for 4 days. Mm-hmm. You're just dropped in. Cell phones are a thing of the past. Mm-hmm. The buzz of the interstate, gone. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes a couple days, 2-3 days to really start feeling the energy of the connection of to yourself, to the other men, and to nature. That's the trifecta right there, those three.
Yeah.
And that's what we seek to do on these expeditions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, speaking of the connection and the load loss, let's call it, the weight. Mm-hmm. When I volunteered on the expedition with the veterans, sitting in a yurt, I saw these burly, bearded, tattooed special service men crying very hard with so much pain.
Yeah.
It was the heaviest thing I'd experienced. Week later, they come out of the woods. They were so joyful.
Uh-huh.
They dropped 1,000 pounds of emotional baggage in Yellowstone Park.
Yeah.
4 days in the woods.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So that's what happens. We connect.
Now, do you have any veterans in your group?
Not currently.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I'm sure every man and some of these other men's groups are figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
I know the Mankind Project is trying to do something like that.
Yeah.
They're heading in that direction.
Good.
So, now, do you do anything like primitive skills?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was during those first 2 days at the lodge.
Mm-hmm.
One of the guides, he taught us how to build wooden bowls. We had a chunk of wood, we were given the four elements to make these bowls. You know,
meaning what? Rock,
fire, rock, earth, air, wind, and water. And, you know, when I started, I was like, this is silly. You know, and I think a lot of the guys did. But
I can see the rock, water.
Yeah, I'll get to that.
Okay, so, because wind, I'm having a tough time
with. Yeah, right. And you know, honestly, I don't think he prompted it with that. It's what I discovered. And, and I started playing with the elements, and it was fun. But, you know, initially, I could see the guys struggling.
Sure.
You know, it's hard to keep a coal lit on top of a piece of wood.
Mm-hmm.
But the way I incorporated the four elements was, first of all, you got a coal, you got fire, you put it on that wood chunk, and it starts burning a cavity.
Oh.
And in order to keep that coal going, you blow on it or put it up in the wind.
There you go.
So you got wind stoking the flame, burning into the wood.
Mm-hmm.
And then after you get so far, you take a rock and you kind of gouge it out, earth, and then you soak it in the water, wash out the soot and ash. So it was cool.
There you go.
Great way to connect to the,
the
four
elements.
Yeah,
that's interesting. I would have never, you know, how did they make bowls?
Yeah, exactly. And we were making wood spoons.
All I can picture is a sharp rock and scrape.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, that would take a while.
So, now how does that connect us with our feelings? You're doing this project, you know, does emotions come up? Or? You know, this ain't working.
Right.
My bowl is ugly looking.
Yeah, What a great reflection. If you start looking around at other guys' progress and compare yourself to them, well, how often do you do that at work?
Yeah.
Or, you know, in society? Mm-hmm. Or you get frustrated because it's not coming easy enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I know I was frustrated at first. And then I was proud afterwards. I was like, I accomplished something. And got into a very meditative state.
Nice. So, this just kind of getting off. Well, let's stay with this. So, because you talked about the animal totems, or what do you call them?
Animal guide spirit.
Animal guide spirits.
Yep.
Okay. And so, when I use the word tribal, like ancestral, you know, our family mindsets and stuff. Do you see how do we connect with our tribal or ancestral connections by observing animals in nature?
Yeah. I've always been connected to birds.
Mm-hmm.
I dream of eagles and owls, hawks. Mm-hmm. I have cool experiences in nature. I once had an eagle drop a fish from the sky right in front of me as I was fishing for fish for the Raptor Center. To feed the eagles.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. You know, when stuff like that happens, I just shake my head and go, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You know, I don't know exactly how it connects me to my ancestors, but I know it connects me to myself and nature, and you know, it's fun.
Sure.
You know.
Well, then you've got this, I'm going to just call it a tribe of guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so,
yeah.
You know, you're
it's,
all
it's a brotherhood.
Yeah, it's a brotherhood.
Sure. Yeah.
Especially if you're doing every night at the campfire, do you do a check-in?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Every night and every morning.
Yeah. Yeah. So that really strengthens that tribal aspect.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, at the end of the trip, you got 16 new friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
and you stay connected somewhat.
Yeah, some of them.
Somebody's in LA or whatever.
I have people all over, you know, all over the country. I could probably stay at their house.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
you know, and even just being part of the whole concept of like every man. You know, mm-hmm. I was talking to one of the interviews I had. I think it was with Philip Baker, and he was telling me a story how he was going. I think it was Italy. I think he went to Italy. And he had this whole story how he didn't know anybody there.
Yeah.
But he looked up these two guys that were in the same, you know, Mankind Project. And he says, just like that, he had a place to stay. Mm-hmm. He had people to take him places. It was great.
Yeah.
So that's a nice connection, especially making it through nature like this.
It is.
So, do you... I'm just thinking, does anything come up where, in terms of respecting the elements of nature, you know, and how sometimes, I know when I was younger, I'm climbing that peak because I'm going to conquer that mountain, as opposed to really taking the hike and enjoying everything around me and making sure I wasn't going to leave a mark.
Yeah. I like to make the distinction between a hike and a walk in the woods. Okay. I walk in the woods or saunter. there was days of hiking for sure, you know. But yeah, you can't climb a mountain without a mountain, you know. You're not conquering the mountain.
There you go.
You're working together. Mm-hmm. You're at the mercy of the elements and the elevation. And
So it takes out the competition. If somebody's having a tough time with their pack because they're out of shape, you get...
Exactly.
Somebody else helping?
We did that. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, we're a team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I find really beautiful about men's group and these expeditions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a lot of ego or bravado or masculine machismo. No, I don't. And it quickly forms good bonds. If no one's got these pretenses of I'm better than you or I got to compete against you.
Right.
We don't do that.
Oh, good.
Just very naturally.
Yeah.
You know, and I think maybe on some of these retreats or expeditions, men show up and they, you know, initially feel pretty nervous and threatened and they wear the facade. I know I did at times. You know, after a day, that's all melted away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something about nature that can kind of beat it out of you.
So
we're getting to the end of our interview.
Okay.
This has really been enjoyable. If somebody wants to connect here locally with the Bozeman group, how can they do it?
Other than
going to the Everman site, if they want to connect with the local, you mentioned you and two.
I would suggest emailing me. I'll be receptive to anybody that reaches out. My email is Chris Berman, and that's BERMAN. 11@gmail.com.
Okay. And why don't you repeat it one more time, just in case.
It's Chris Berman, 11@gmail.com. CHRISBERMAN@gmail. Oh, I'm sorry, there was a 11 in there.
And now, if somebody wanted to do a workshop and wasn't part of a group, is that possible?
Oh, yeah, certainly.
Okay.
Yeah, and those you need to directly go to Everyman website.
The Everyman website.
And they do
open... Just Everyman.com.
Everyman.com.
Everyman.com without the E. It's
EVRYMAN. Yep.
.com.
And they do 3-day retreats maybe 10 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the summer, they do 3 to 5, you know, week-long expeditions.
And does anybody... like Dan or anybody, Lucas, ever come out this way to do a workshop? Have you ever heard of any?
Well, Dan used to live here.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, that's where I met him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, occasionally we bring Marcus Owen out to mm-hmm. Livingston, mm-hmm. and we've done some retreats out there.
Oh, you have?
3-day okay. type deals. In the summer, you know, we are kind of based out of Bozeman for the Yellowstone expeditions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this last summer they did 2 Yellowstone expeditions, and that's based out of Bozeman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. So now let's just backtrack a little bit, and you met Dan where, here?
Yeah, in Bozeman.
Okay.
Yep.
And
2 weeks later, I was sitting in a group, mm-hmm. like I said, with 8 guys. And 2 months later, I jumped into a minivan with 6 of these guys. Dan and another guy flew down to Joshua Tree. Oh. They were leading a 3-day retreat. They mm-hmm. call it an open source retreat.
Wow. In the desert.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 18 hours away. Mm-hmm. And it was proposed that we rent a van and drive down there. And the introvert in me said, no way. But after sitting with these guys for 2 months, I became good friends with them. Mm-hmm. And so we rented a van, and 6 of us jumped in there and did an 18-hour road trip down south. And I remember on... you know, we had driven all night, and the next morning I was on the wheel driving through some beautiful mountains in Utah, and all the guys were singing in harmony, Backstreet Boys and Stand By Me, and it was just a beautiful moment. And I'm driving, I got my cap on, my sunglasses, and tears just rolled down my cheeks. Wow. And I felt like I found my brothers.
Yeah.
And you know, I'd known them for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, we get down to Joshua Tree. And the open source retreat, you know, the first night you're sitting in a circle with 50 men and everybody's really nervous. The next day we did some ceremonies out in the desert, you know, sat alone for 2 hours. And anyways, that night we did a talent show. And it was a time for guys to kind of unwind and mm-hmm. show their skills. And one guy did a pants dance. And basically, he was able to get his sweatpants off his legs without his hands. And it was hilarious.
He probably didn't tie him up.
No. Okay. And another guy danced, and he was ecstatic dancing to some music. And,
oh, nice.
And he invited anybody that wanted to come up and dance, too. Mm-hmm. And a lot of guys did, and it looked fun, and I wanted to get up there and dance with these mm-hmm. guys, but I didn't.
Yeah,
and I just sat there.
Still introvert.
Yeah, I was stuck to my chair. Sure. I started feeling all the shame of being a child, of growing up shy, mm-hmm. introverted, always sitting on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I nearly got up, and then the song ended. And I just reflected on all those times as a kid, just sitting on the sidelines, being shy, and the pain that pain. And so I went to bed that night. Next day, we went into the desert again to do an anger ceremony.
Mm, and what's that like?
It's intense. 50 guys all spread out, find their own space, and there was this palm tree oasis in the, you know, 2 miles into the desert.
Mm-hmm.
They all found their own space, and the idea is to release anger, whether you're screaming, yelling, laughing maniacally, cussing, hitting the ground with your fist.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded like a nightmarish war.
Sure, I'll bet. And, a real tribal thing.
Yeah, and okay. I sat quietly. I didn't have anger. I've released anger in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I sat quietly. And anyways, we get back to the lodge. And we're sitting in a big circle under the tent, 50 men. And Dan asked some of the guys to reflect on their experience. And one of the guys stood up and he said, you know, I didn't have any anger to express. I felt like singing. And I didn't, because I felt like it would be throwing it in your face. You know, you were all releasing anger, and here I am singing joyfully. So Dan says, why don't you sing right now?
Mm.
And he got all flustered. He's like, oh, no. And his brother kind of egged him on. And so this kid jumped up on his chair and put his arms out and belted out a beautiful wailing song. Tears are streaming down his face.
Mm-hmm.
And right in that moment, I knew what I had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt so good. He sat back down, and I raised my hand. I said, Chris, checking in. And I described how I sat on the sidelines and didn't dance the night before. And I was like, I want to dance right now. And they were like, yeah, hooting, hollering, clapping, and beatboxing. Mm-hmm. And I jumped up and danced in front of 50 men. Felt so comfortable, easy. That was a highlight of that weekend. But the larger picture of that 3-day trip was all the men coming in very nervous, diverse backgrounds, 3 days later, they were all hugging each other.
Yeah.
And I realized, you know, we all have the same pain,
yeah,
same joy, same fear, same mm-hmm. struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that, hearing 50 other guys mm-hmm. speak to that,
yeah,
you don't feel so alone.
No, that's so true. Because I could relate. One of the first groups that I went to, you know, I'd be watching some of the guys go through, you know, shouting or whatever,
yeah,
you know, and I'm like, oh boy, you know, because
yeah,
I'm similar. I was pretty introverted.
Yeah.
And I remember going through whatever I was working on. It had to do with my throat chakra, trying to get my voice yeah. out. I wanted to be heard.
Yeah.
And I think saying they pushed me, you know.
Coaxed you.
They coaxed me. That's that's a nicer way to say it. And they coaxed me to actually bellow out and be heard and say what I wanted to say. And boy, did that feel powerful. Yeah. And what a release. Yeah. I'm getting goosebumps now just recalling
me too.
You know? Yeah. And it was just so beautiful to have that camaraderie.
It's good breaking through limitations.
It is. It really is.
I think nothing like it.
No. So that's really good. So might as well ask you one now that we're talking about some mm-hmm. humility here.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you did this trip, how do we feel as men humility when in nature rather than conquering nature?
Right.
You know, we can rip apart that side of the mountain and build a road and put your house right up there.
Yeah.
You know.
But nature humbles you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you step out of the city, your comfort zone, your air-conditioned house. You get in the woods where the bugs are biting you and it's hot and mm-hmm. you're sweaty and you're carrying 40 pounds. You start seeing your limitations.
Mm-hmm.
But also you push past those limitations and mm-hmm. you grow. And, you know, by day three, you feel really strong and you feel better about it. But, you look at the grandeur of big open spaces mm-hmm. and mountains.
Yeah.
You realize just how small we are and how disconnected we are from nature.
Mm-hmm.
That humbles me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
sure. I know it does the same thing when I do that. And you know, here's one other question I wanted to ask you: is how do you think, like a farmer or a rancher, might have a different view of interpersonal relationships than a 9-to-5 guy or a construction guy, an office guy?
Yeah. That's a good question.
Because they're always in that natural environment.
Right. I think, this is my own projection.
Yeah, this is right.
The rancher, cowboy type, or, you know, mm-hmm. whatever, the settler, the pioneer,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's this tradition of independence and stoicism.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, you know, it takes a lot of strength to, you know, I don't want to say conquer a land, but settle a land.
Settle
and I think
land.
That tradition is still held true to this day. And so rancher types, in my perception, have this very strong demeanor,
mm-hmm.
and they need to be strong.
Yeah.
But I'd say I'd be wary of letting that strength get too far away from you, where you can't admit your weakness.
Yeah.
You know, it's my perception that these types, you know, mm-hmm. the real, the manly men,
mm-hmm.
You know, I know for a fact, you know, to express weakness is you don't do it. I was taught that as a boy growing up in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I sure was afraid to, you know, any weakness, you don't talk about it.
Nope.
Any sensitivity, you don't talk about
mm-hmm.
it. Thus, you be perceived as weak.
Sure.
And that is a no-no for men.
Oh, yeah.
You got to always be strong.
And have that swagger, as they say, and everything. And I think more than anything I was getting at, I was trying to see, you know, like I like the garden a lot, permaculture.
Yeah.
I'm into permaculture, and that's being a steward of the land.
Right.
And I know ranchers and farmers mm-hmm. are really kind of conscious of being a steward.
Sure.
It doesn't show it all the time with the big corporation farms,
right.
but with the small farmers and ranchers, so they really are. And so when we go on a retreat like this, mm-hmm. you know, it's we get humbled by nature.
Yeah.
And
So I get you. I see what you're saying. Yeah, mm-hmm. I know a lot of farmers that have small outfits and
mm-hmm.
they raise sustainable beef and
mm-hmm.
you know, organic crops and such.
Sure.
And you know, they come into the co-op where I work, they sell their produce there, and they just always seem to be so peaceful.
Yeah.
And weathered in a beautiful, right, bright way. So yeah, they live it.
They live it.
Live connected to the land.
I even noticed that when I used to hunt, you could tell the difference between somebody that was paying big money to do a hunt just for a trophy,
right,
and the guy that was going out there
feeding his family.
Yep, feeding his family, and I'm not going to take that one, you know,
right,
because I want it to live.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going after this one.
Yeah.
So, well, that about wraps it up. I can't think of anything else. You got anything you can think of?
You know, anyone listening, I think, you know, if you're searching for connection, come join us.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing like sharing your deep stuff, stuff you're afraid to talk about, you know, because it's hard to talk about, you know, shameful things. But I know personally, I've talked about some shame in the past, and I've let it go.
Yeah, that's
I feel really light and easy.
It's
freeing.
It's the burden.
Yeah.
Well, and I just want to add, now, this is a pretty young show right now, but it's the Men's Network Radio is meant to be a resource and a connection with fellow brothers. And eventually I'll have a website together, and we'll have resources, books that every man comes out. If you go to their website, everyman.com, any of these other men websites, just Google it, men's groups, and you'll see resources such as books. And I'll be having a website that'll have that, different modalities that we could use personally for ourselves for growth. And so look for that in the future. I'll let you know when it's actually online. And Chris, again, I want to thank you again. How about a hug?
Yeah.
let's do a hug.
Let's make it loud.
Amen. All right.
Yeah. Good meeting you, Jim.
All right. Take care. All right. Good night, fellow brothers.